Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we are here to tell the truth about Tiffany to Adam Klein. Tiffany Truther, ultimate Tiffany stan, Adam Klein, who came on the podcast just a few days ago. It was just him and I, and he went through and was talking about how Tiffany was going to win this game. She was set up to win. Tiffany goes home tonight. Trust me, I'm shocked. I had her at number 5. Alexa had her at number 4. It seemed like the Yase 3 were going to make some sort of turn here. Seemed like with all the advantages, what could they possibly do wrong? And we got ourselves a normal episode of Survivor tonight with a lot of good moments, a fun twist, which I cannot wait to talk about. I actually think it was very compelling. And we got ourselves a nice little blindside that was really, I think, more of a blindside to all of us. A lot of people's names came up. A blonde older woman spoke. It was very confusing. I don't know who she was, but she did speak.
Was it Tiffany, here we are. Was it Heather? Who are you referencing?
I'm going to be honest. I think it might have been a camera person who just snuck in.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a great visor, which I didn't know like what the deal was with hats and visors anymore. Heather snuck on in with that visor, and I'm sure that has been extremely helpful for her. Yeah, this like sucks because I love Tiffany, and I think she's so fun. So I'm really bummed to have lost her. But we've got like Heather FaceTime and like one Heather confessional, dare I say.
I think almost it was two.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's little, I think it might have been two. Yeah. I totally thought Heather was going to mess this up for herself because she like this whole I really loved this episode. But I was so annoyed that one Shan brought up like live tribals and then Heather did it literally as soon as Jeff was like, we're done. So I don't want Heather to go. But at that moment, I was like, oh, this is so stupid. I can't. I'm like so annoyed. And then we'll talk a lot about Shan tonight because Shan like did not have a great episode. And I think like Shan and Deshaun like therapizing each other in the middle of tribals.
Therapizing,
it's like,
there it is.
That's a word and that's what I'm standing with. It's like, you know, when you're in a fight with someone and in the middle of the fight, one person is trying to already create a solution when you don't want that. You want to just be mad at them for another day. I felt like that was what was happening. Like they didn't need to try to figure out their problems at that point. They settled on the person and just needed to get it out of the way.
Yeah, and so I really thought it was going to be Heather. I thought Heather was going to blow up her own game. It seemed like that was the way it was going. I think what we're not seeing is nobody out there thinks Heather is a threat at all in any way, shape, or form. I think the reason we're actually not getting many confessionals from Heather is because I think she's dropping bombs every time in terms of F-bombs. She's probably saying shit a lot. I mean, her mouth was blurred in both her confessionals today. Yeah. And while a lot of time, I mean, survivors curse a lot. That is a fact. But if she's doing that a lot, it goes away from what they want the stay-at-home mom to be on Survivor. And I think that's why we're actually not getting confessionals from her. But I don't think people are threatened by her in any way, shape, or form. And they wanted to keep her around because what can she do?
I think that's a really good point because I remember reading Heather's press. I actually think I picked Heather to win 100 years ago.
Yeah, you did.
Because she, like, in all of her press, she was so, like, so outgoing and said that she cusses like a sailor and she, like, can act like a teenage boy. And so it's a bit of the, what was her name? Jenna Bowman effect from Ghost Island. Apparently everything she said was just so raunchy that's why she had no screen time. Maybe that's a bit of Heather. And I'm going to say, I would love that because that is totally off brand for the stereotype. But I mean, I like get where Heather's coming from. One only like in one aspect where Shan goes to her and was like, oh, I threw your name out. And Heather's like, well, what the heck?
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
Well, and so Shan is just shooting herself in the foot here. I mean, Shan is trying so hard to play the middle ground with everybody that now she's just overplaying everything, it seems like. And you had her do this with Nasir, and Nasir goes, never throw my name out. And then she goes over and tells Heather, stop telling people you're throwing their name out. Like, stop.
That's something that, like, nobody ever likes that. Like, when you're, like, being the decoy vote, I assume, is the worst feeling. But typically, like, you get consent from the player before, like, offering their name out to everybody. Because I really thought Nasir was going to go home. He had the confessional from hell that was I'm so safe. And I was like, oh, God, he's screwed. And, like, I wouldn't blame him because he was in a great position. So you have to get that clarification before you start whipping names around. And it seemed like she was kind of doing it at a pace that she herself couldn't keep up with. because you see Xander going to, I think it's Ricard and Erica, and he's like, Heather? And they're like, huh? Mm-hmm. Like poor Xander is just spinning in circles, but I love him. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am having a hard time. Xander, if he can get to the end, I don't see how he doesn't win. Right. It just feels like we're being set up for Xander. He's saying all the right things. He didn't find the advantage tonight, but then we got his confessional about why he wanted to be with the losers and why he wanted to hang out
with
them.
That was awesome.
Really
that was
smart.
Really, really cool. I was so ready for that confessional to go as like, I wanted to sit out because I knew I'd find an advantage, which obviously he was looking for. I've like never heard that perspective before. I thought that was fantastic.
And I really have a theory that he probably saw the advantage, but I don't think he wanted the advantage. I just think he's happy nobody else got it. But he's been burned by so many advantages so far. Why touch one? You're in a better spot now. You know you need your vote. You know you have the idol and you have an extra vote. It's not worth possibly losing your vote.
I mean, not to steal directly the screenshot that you texted me, but Xander very well could have opened that and it would have said, you know, you and your family have to move. Like, yeah. Just like, not like it would have been the complete opposite of advantage. And I think now maybe that's what they're going for. And I do, you know, I mean, let's maybe shift to the challenge just for a second. With Xander looking around and Evie solving that puzzle in 4 seconds, that like shows me the perspective of the people who are pro all of these changes, because these players are breaking the game. These players know exactly what to do. They go out knowing that they're going to do this. I just always believe you should tell the players what the rules are. But I thought,
yes,
like Evie having studied that and even like calling out the season, it was like, holy moly.
That's the easiest puzzle. It's the easiest puzzle of all time, because you lay down one of the 4 pieces, you set up the 2-side, you set up the 3-1, and then you set up the long one. That's literally all. It's so easy. And once you know it, it's cake, and you can do it in 3 seconds. And the problem is they've gotten really lazy with the puzzles, and they need to change them up. And I'm not saying that they need to make them all Metamorphosis or that one gold puzzle that they did the one time that took Benry like 4.5 hours. They need to just not make it so that every puzzle is just being recycled from an earlier season. Because with this one, you're just taking something that everybody can watch 2 seasons ago and literally make right now. Like, we could make that puzzle this second and do it. And once you know it, it literally can be solved in 4 seconds like we saw it tonight. That's not good. That's not how the game should be done. People shouldn't be able to come into the game already knowing what the challenges are going to be, just to win them. Like, that is too simple. I mean, it kind of makes everything else a moot point for the opposite reason of what we normally see, because it wasn't an equalizing puzzle. It was as long as you watched another season of Survivor, you're going to get this right. They need to change that.
Yeah. And I think like people have kind of been calling for challenge diversity for a while, and this just definitely cleans it up, or proves that. Yeah. I'm going to assume that you're really into this negotiation situation. So do you want to talk about that for the immunity challenge? I thought that was fun.
I was all in on this negotiation situation. So, and here's why, because nobody actually lost anything. The people who sat out, the first 3 people to step off, all had idols. Great. They all had idols. Like, duh. They can do that. But I liked Xander's approach. I liked Jeff's approach. And I liked that this was not something where it was like, if you step off and 4 of you do it, you get to send somebody home, but 4 of you have to agree. Like, it was just, you do this for the tribe. It had an old school feel. It was simple. It was to the point, and they just did it. I was really big into that. I think that more of this is a good thing for Survivor, because it's not just, oh, you can sit out for food and eat a bunch of cheeseburgers. It's, you can sit out and you can help your tribe, but you're putting yourself at risk. The only one who really put themselves at risk was Ricard. Yeah. He was really the only one who was in any type of danger, because he was the only one who didn't have an idol. But I think he felt safe enough with Shan that if Shan heard his name come up, she would go back. But Shan and Ricard are an old married couple, and they're done.
Oh, they're so done. Good.
They're blowing up. It's crazy. Shan, I think, is starving right now. I think she's losing her mind. But Shan and Ricard right now, like, I heard she was annoyed that he ate the papaya. I get that. But then she has a confessional saying that that's her number one. You don't blow up your number one in front of the entire camp over papaya. Like, you just don't.
They're
do
like
that.
They're one of those couples who is like, And I mean, I'm using a strict lazy analogy. They're one of those couples that's been married for way too long and don't belong together, but they're both very morally against getting divorced. So they like literally are stuck together. Mm-hmm. But like I based on next week, I assume they're going to fall apart. But she like that situation happens. Then she has that confessional. But then Ricard does step out and put himself at risk. So watching that, I was like, how are they still working? Like, I'm impressed at this point. Like, and also for what it's worth, like, let them hate each other. But if they can put it aside and just keep gaming together, it's really, really cool. This is a super unique duo and I'm really enjoying it. I hope they continue to stay together but hate each other because it's really fun.
Well, and it has that feel of the Kasaya 6. Like, it's bringing me straight back to, like, Courtney and Shane vibes, except neither one of these people is nearly as crazy. But yeah. It's giving me that vibe. And I think that the problem was early on, Shan was so much more likable than Ricard.
Yeah.
But I think Ricard's patience is really starting to show as Shan is starting to be too aggressive. And I think what ended up happening was, you have to think, like, Denise and Malcolm, when this happened to them in the Philippines, they are two incredibly patient, self-aware people. And I'm not saying Shan and Ricard aren't self-aware, but I don't think they have that same patience that those two have. Their personalities, Denise's personality is to sit there and listen to people and all of that. And Malcolm, even though he's the football player who played Ivy League, you know, he's able to kind of take a step back and figure that out. Mm-hmm. But Shan and Ricard have played so much of the game. Shan is wanting everybody to know how much of the game she's played. And she almost feels like, I know this game better than you because I've gone to more tribal councils. Therefore, you should agree with me. I think that Deshaun is cutting her next week or the week after. Yeah. I think that the with the Black Alliance is going to fall apart because Deshaun is going to say, no, I am not staying with you, Shan, because you are driving me crazy. Because she shut him down twice tonight, and that's all we saw. So imagine how many times it actually happened that we didn't see. It's probably happening a lot. And somebody like Deshaun, who's coming from a tribe where he was in total control, him and Danny really were running things. And now he's being told by somebody that he really doesn't know that well. No, I don't care about what you're saying. Why do you need her? Figure out a way to blindside her with the idol. And I think it's coming.
Yeah, I think so too, because I think she's very confident in her position. And I think understandably so. What's really unique about this alliance is it includes people from all three original tribes, which is like fantastic for them because they all have immediate relationships with other people. I mean, Xander and Liana have tension, but Xander literally needs her. So I think like there's always going to be that open avenue. Erica and I think Heather, to an extent, like they'll always have that avenue. Shan and Ricard are like close. To me, it's Shan is the shakiest one there. Deshaun will always have Danny, at least for the next week or so. And I think if Deshaun goes to Danny and he's like, dude, I can't do this, I assume Danny is going to be okay with that. Also, shout out to Danny. He started, well, Nasir didn't end up going home, but he started this Nasir thing and his name is clean.
Yeah.
The difference between what Danny did and what Shan did, Danny, and this is like, I think this is a sign of a great player. We see this a lot. Danny drops the name in a way that seemed like we thought of this. Shan was like, it's got to be this person. Like, it's got to be Xander.
Yeah.
There's the difference there.
Well, and what happened was Danny brought it up and Shan immediately shot it down without her really allowing him to speak why. And I think that's the biggest problem. And I think that Shan is an outsider to this alliance of Danny and Deshaun. There is no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And so Danny and Deshaun are always going to side with each other over there before they're going to side with Shan. And so when you have Shan trying to kind of dictate what those two guys are doing, it's not going to work because that's the same thing as Danny or Deshaun trying to dictate what Shan and Ricard are doing. It's not going to happen. Like, you're not going to be able to divide them. I would love to see Danny pull out a win here. I would love to see Danny do something. I think Danny and Deshaun are in really good spots because they have each other. They still have Nasir. Heather seems like she's helplessly attached to them. And they seem like they have tried to bridge the gap more than the other tribes have. Yeah. I think Danny and Deshaun are playing fantastic games right now. And I think they realize that the other three people from their original tribe can never beat them in the final tribal council. Nasir won't be able to have the compelling argument. We saw this with Ty. Erica and Heather have no leg to stand on. They know that they win if they get there. One of them is going to win. And I feel like they're trying to pull a Dom and Wendell type thing.
Yeah. And I think, like, I think they're both, like, pretty equally as talented. I think the only difference is Deshaun is, and this really just could be super situational, Deshaun is the one having his head butted with Shan. Mm-hmm. Danny has really remained clean. I don't know if that's maybe just how their personalities are. Maybe Danny's just a bit more laid back, because I think Deshaun does a very good job of being in the leadership position. But I don't think, like, anyone looks at this group and says, like, Deshaun is top dog. I think it is, it is fluid enough where there isn't a clear head of the snake, which I also think is very beneficial for this group if they're able to get cohesive again.
I agree. My biggest thing is, how does Danny get to the very end? You know, like, that's what it always comes down to, is somebody like Danny. I actually thought Danny was going to be in trouble tonight. He's doing a great job of keeping his name out of people's mouths. Yeah. But I really thought he was going to be in trouble tonight, because that challenge was built for him. The lucky thing for him is, and maybe he did it on purpose, I don't know, he participates in this challenge and does absolutely terrible. Danny has never once done well in an individual challenge. He didn't do well in the foot one. He doesn't do well in this one. Why would you be scared of him? But I still think that, you know, it's like when Joe Engel went home in 38, like, you just are always looking at those types of people. And so I think that Danny will eventually be in trouble, whereas I don't see Deshaun being in trouble. And the way it's being set up right now, considering we saw Shan and Ricard fighting with each other early on in the season, right before the merge, it is being set up to pretty much tell us Shan was your darling in the pre-merge, but Shan is actually the one who's causing these problems, and the other people are going to come out on top. I think Deshaun comes out on top of the situation. I think Shan's probably got 2 or 3 weeks left.
Yeah, I think Shan's definitely in a lot of trouble. I do think Shan's smart enough to play at Idol, so I think they would have to be very, very really sneaky with it. That challenge, I know, like, Jeff loves to be like, there's no calories in your body, you all suck at challenges. But that challenge ended in 4 minutes. Like, that was crazy. And Danny is an NFL player and probably has calves made of pure iron and immediately fell.
And so, Spencer was able to do it for an hour and 20 something minutes.
Spencer? Yeah. So I want to talk about this negotiation thing real quick, because I really liked it. I have to say, Jeff is, like, not a good negotiation starter.
No.
He's like that was, to me, it started off super awkward. And I was like, well, this isn't a negotiation. Jeff clearly has a number in mind. And then when Xander was sort of working the group and then Jeff got more involved, I thought that was a lot better.
Yeah. And so like, my biggest problem was, obviously, he said multiple people and she says, how many is multiple? And the fact that there was nothing, and she was able to say two, and then he acted shocked. Why would they not say two to start? Like, he was like, are we negotiating or no? Do you even know how to negotiate? Like, why would they not start with two? That is multiple. That is the lowest multiple. And then he says seven. It was always going to be five. Like, unless they accepted seven, it was always going to be five. The four thing was definitely just because of the way Xander approached it. But it was pretty hilarious to see how bad that started off, because it's like, okay, well, of course we're going to say two. And then he acts all, like, offended, and it's like, what did you want them to say? Like, we'll give you nine, Jeff. Oh, good. Well, actually, I want 11. Okay, great deal. And then everybody has to sit down. Like, it made no sense.
Yeah. And this is one where I think, like, I could have very easily been like, well, negotiation's more fun when, like, what was it? The Hunapu tribe, like, and then Angelina. Like, we have, like, previous iterations of this. I really liked it. I hope they do it again. And maybe they can even do it with, like, you know, maybe they, I don't want them to replace reward challenges, but I think for episodes where they don't have reward challenges, I really like being like, oh, well, you know, Alexa, how do you feel about sitting out and putting one less person on your tribe if you guys get a tarp or something like that, or making the team choose somebody to leave? I think that just, that adds social politics. And if people lose anything, it's their own choice.
Yes. Yes. And so do we think that we're going to see this again in future seasons?
I hope so. I mean, the rate at which we're going, we're probably going to see all the bad things and not the good things. But I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Like, can we see just this, though? Like, is it possible for us to see just this? Does it have to be more than this? Or can this be the extent of what it actually is?
I hope it is. I don't think, My problem is I don't think they're like going to be cherry picking what like the fans like and what the fans don't like, because I don't think they really care. But yeah. I think this is something that is like inoffensive enough yet effective enough where, sure, maybe as a fan, like we don't see like there's something like sexy about getting rice, but the players aren't dying. Make it fun. Make it fish. Make it fruit. I think there's a lot of fun you can have with it.
Now, what do you think? What do you think the advantage was at the reward challenge that was sitting out? What do you think the advantage was, and how annoying would it have been if Erica found it, considering Erica has done literally nothing to earn her way into the situation she has earned her way into?
I know. So crazy that she got that drop, that rock.
It's insane. What do you think was there, though? Like, what do you think they were ready to spring on us?
We've done extra votes. We've done idols. I don't think it's anything new, because they, I think, would have pushed it a little harder if it was something new.
I mean, it was pretty easy to see.
I know. Like, no, I mean, Xander hasn't eaten in 3 weeks, but like, come on, dude. It's right
there. Still thinking he did it on purpose. And that might be like a not 4D very
chess.
I think he did. I mean, one, it keeps it out of people's hands, but he has been burned every single time. So if he's been burned every single time, why would you pick that up when he's finally, and I know tonight did not go his way. He loses Tiffany. Tiffany, he was definitely probably the closest with out on that island. So he loses her, but it's still like a good, he's still in the best position he's been in literally the whole game. On his original tribe, he had no vote. He had no anything. Yeah. He just sat there and watched the men get picked off. He's finally in the best position he's in. So why would you touch anything when you've been burned that many times?
Yeah, I don't blame him. And I think you're right. I think he's in the best position, not just from a like being able to vote perspective, but also he's on the bottom in a really like smart way. And I feel like that doesn't really happen very often. Mm-hmm. He's like, he chose to be with the losers. But I just think he knows how to not scramble. And I think he knows he's just always going to have a vote coming his way. But he, I think, knows that he's in the position. What am I trying to say here? Like, he's always going to get votes. But people are always going to say, we can get Xander anytime. Let's get Nasir. Let's get Erica. Let's get whoever. So I don't know how long this is going to last for him. But I hope it does.
Do you think that Tiffany was their original plan? Because Ricard kept saying, play your idol, play your idol, play your idol. Do you think Ricard was trying to set up something to play with Xander later in the game in hopes that they would get rid of a Nasir tonight or somebody from the Luvu tribe? Because it was very weird how hard he was pushing for that. Do we think that Heather getting up actually changed anything? Because why weren't they going for Xander? Like, they, in the end, Xander ended up getting two votes tonight. They came from Nasir and Danny. That's all he got. Six votes went to Tiff and two votes went to Heather. Now Xander himself voted for Nasir. If he doesn't vote for Nasir and votes for Heather, Heather ends up being the second option there in a 6-3-2 vote. So why was it that they ended up deciding to only throw two votes at Xander? Do we think that was always the plan coming in?
I think the plan was, I actually think walking in the plan was Tiff and Nasir or Tiff and Heather. I think Heather standing up threw that off, and that's where like Nasir gets one, Xander gets two, and Heather gets two. I think that's where it breaks up a little bit. Ricard votes for Tiff. I think all Ricard was trying to do was get Xander to play his idol because Xander knew his name was floating around. I think like smart by Ricard, the you know, by the little that we saw, it seemed like it was overkill because obviously Xander didn't even like bat an eyelash. But I think that's what he was trying to do, and you know, shoot your shot on that. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. Okay. So let's talk about like a little bit like future-y here. Let's see where we're thinking we're going.
Okay.
So Shannon, Deshaun, it seems like they are not going to end up working out. Now we know that there's alliance between Liana, Shan, Danny, and Deshaun. We know that is a thing that was supposed to be happening. And it seems like Deshaun is done with that. Yeah. Heather and Erica seem like they are just being used.
Yeah.
Now Xander and Evie are completely on the outs without anybody else. Evie knows that if Evie doesn't win immunity tonight, Evie goes home. And Evie said that after the challenge.
Evie knew that.
Yeah, Evie said, I think that it was going to be me tonight. Sucks for all of you. Like, I thought that was great. I thought that was amazing. But when we go over to Ricard now, Ricard seems like he's going to stay with Shan. Where do you see this kind of lining up now with Tiffany gone, who was a very vocal part of the season, a very big narrator, seemed like she was getting kind of a comeback story. Truthers were everywhere. Tiffany's gone. What do you think we're going to see with these people moving forward, though?
I think we're kind of hitting that point in like modern seasons where you're going to just be getting fleeting alliances, which is where I think Danny and Deshaun are really going to excel. Because I think Evie and Xander will like loosely work together. I was actually kind of shocked that the three of them broke up so quickly. I kind of thought they were just going to be playing that up. But I think like Evie and Xander haven't had the same like kind of rivalry that maybe Xander and Liana have had. I think Shan is probably going to go a little bit rogue. And I think she and Ricard are going to be working on that together. I think Heather is maybe going to try to make some changes and they're not going to go anywhere. I think Eric is going to try to lay low. And really, Danny and Deshaun are the ones who benefit from this because they are the only two people who actually fully trust each other and are on the same page all the time. And I don't really think people are either concerned about it or notice it, which is odd.
Well, that is odd because they seem like they should be who you should be most worried about. Right? Like they seem like they should be. And now we have 10 people left in the game, right? 10 people. And granted, we have twists and advantages and all this nonsense still floating around out there. But five are original Luvu. Heather does what she does tonight. Heather doesn't go home because of that original tribe. The two people who voted for Heather were Tiffany and Evie. Maybe this was also part of the plan to maybe try to get some votes off of Nasir, so Nasir wouldn't have to play an idol, knowing that Heather was going to do this and all of Luvu was going to stick together anyway. Maybe that was part of it, to try to flip the votes to Heather.
That would be impressive. Heather got votes. Yeah.
And maybe Heather was like, well, screw it, I'm getting votes anyway. But Heather was throwing out Nasir's name. That was weird. So I don't think they were actually playing in that way. But the Luvu five, I don't see sticking together, but they are now officially like tied for the majority. Xander still has an extra vote, so that's something to worry about. Shan still has an extra vote, but Shan seems like she wants to work with them. So Luvu should have no problem just kind of rolling through this game, despite the fact that four of them got screwed by a stupid twist. So I'm just like, I'm liking the way this played out, because as much as I like Tiffany, as much as it sucks that Tiffany went, I do like that. Like, okay, Sydney got screwed. And my biggest concern was going to be that it was going to screw every single person down the line here. That didn't happen. And we got to just see regular gameplay tonight. That's all we saw. We saw regular gameplay. Yeah. We saw people make decisions that either benefited or hurt them. And that was it. That's what Survivor is supposed to be. Advantages are out there, but no advantages got played tonight. That's what Survivor is supposed to be.
It's great. We are barreling towards a Suri Field situation.
Yeah, we really
are. I just thought of this. Maybe Heather stood up to, and I say this in support of Heather, maybe she did it because she knew she would get some pretty immediate screen time. I mean, maybe she knew, not that like anybody is like that aware in the middle of the game, but if that's the case, love that for her. I mean, that's what I loved about this. We're talking about advantages, but they aren't even really influencing anyone's votes. I mean, everyone knows that Xander has both an extra vote and an idol, and they're like, yeah, we'll take care of him later. That's not always going to work. Extra votes get more powerful the less people who are around.
Well, and that's why they can't lose track of this, because if they start to lose track, then they're going to be in trouble, because Xander gets stronger every single day. He has an idol and he has,
as he's losing five pounds an hour,
he's still getting stronger every day because he has an idol and an extra vote. As these numbers dwindle, he lost Tiffany tonight. He lost possibly his closest ally in the game. And yet he still got stronger tonight, because now we're down to 10 and he has two really big advantages. And we know that there's not actually strong alliances going on right now. Everything is just kind of forced.
Right. And he seems weaker because he just lost one of his original people. So, and just the way that he's playing, like that foresight of, I want to play with the losers. I wrote down Xander wants to play with emotional losers, which is not what he said, but I thought it was funny. He knows that people are going to like be very emotional after they lose grilled cheese, which it didn't look grilled. It looked like bread and cheese, but I would have eaten that anyway, so I don't care.
It was grilled.
It was survivor food, which is objectively horrible looking. He knew that they would use him as a number rather than, it's sort of like the opposite of having individual immunity, but the same effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I am incredibly impressed by how Xander's playing.
I think Xander's playing. Okay, so here's what I'll say. Going into tonight's tribal, I said I don't want it to be Xander. I don't want it to be Danny. I don't want it to be Sean, and I don't want it to be Tiff. Those were the four that I was going with. I will say right now, like, we're down to 10 people. Like, we're at an even number, a clean number, whatever it is. I think Xander, Deshaun, and Danny are playing the best games. I think Evie is right behind that bunch. Evie just doesn't have the numbers. Mm-hmm. I think Ricard is probably five. And then Shan is starting to take steps back, probably falling to like six or so. Nasir looking like seven, mainly just because Nasir, I think, is just in a bad spot. Nasir's playing with his heart. He keeps saying the language barrier. I think that is going to hurt him. I think Liana's back at eight. And then I think Erica and Heather are just 9 and 10. And people just can't stand that Erica keeps getting whatever. And they don't really think Heather's a threat. But Liana could jump from 8 to 1. That could happen.
Yeah.
But I think that Xander, Deshaun, and Danny are like a clear top three with Evie right behind.
Yeah, I think Liana can bounce back from this. And like, we saw hints of that earlier. Like, she's like, ah, I shattered this. Like, how can I try to fix it? I think the thing with Nasir, I'm going to rep like Nasir, Heather, and Erica together. I think they've just never had like a close alliance and therefore like don't have a ton of, I guess like social capital would be the word. What's so great about Nasir is that he is playing with such an old school mindset. And I mean, he's probably not going to win, but he is a really fun, like, level set against this type of gameplay. And it's, I like both sides of it. It's just really like a cool juxtaposition.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And I think that, you know, Nasir being like, I'll do it because I want to feed them and all that. Like, I don't think Nasir is playing the game. I think he's being totally
sincere.
Yeah,
he like actually meant that and nobody else meant that.
And that's the thing. Like, Xander's doing it all game. I think Shan is really starting to lose it a little bit. So I think that Shan stepped off knowing that she was going to be safe no matter what because she has the idol and trying to kind of get into that hero role, but then nobody else wanted to do it. But yeah, I think Nasir is a very interesting player. I think there's a lot of very good Survivor players on this season. We saw that tonight. I just hope Survivor continues to be Survivor for these remaining weeks. I don't want it to drift into something else. Just stay as Survivor and don't do what we did for the last 2 weeks. That's my biggest concern.
I'm sure it won't, but
I'm sure it
I'm
won't,
very but, happy with what we watched tonight.
That and I will say episode. This. Whoever wins this season will have earned it. Does that necessarily mean they were the best player on the season? No, but that's often the case with Survivor. The best player normally doesn't win.
Ooh, but what if it's a person who lost immunity last week?
You know, and that's kind of where I'm like, if it's somebody like, so if it's Danny comes out and wins after having the immunity taken, still manages to get to the end, an NFL player does all this. Danny's going to be one of the best winners we've had because of that. Like, that's the truth. But if you start getting, like, it's just going to be so random. It's not so random, but it does still feel like whoever wins this is very good at navigating. And that's good. That's what you need to adapt.
Well, yeah, that's how, like, Survivor winners kind of go. Like, I mean, Chris Underwood won. Like, Ben won. Like, I'm not the person who's like, they didn't. The rules were stupid. But, yeah, it's Survivor requires, like, Survivor winners require, like, a handful of luck. There's just like a lot of weird luck in this season.
Yes. And I just hope they can keep the luck to somewhat of a minimum.
Yeah, I do too. Tiffany, we love you.
Yeah, Tiffany, we love you. But the
may luck... you rest in so much peace.
Yes. All right. I want to throw this out there right now. So in terms of for prop bet, and I'm not going to get into all the prop bet things
big
yet.
Big prop bet night tonight.
Big prop bet night. I mean, Heather had her mouth blurred, Xander with the title, Tiffany ended up with 8 votes. But one that I want to throw out here is there are 0 people left in the game who have had a confessional in every single episode. Mm-hmm. And that's a big one. So we do this one every year where it has a confessional in every episode that they're in. Normally we get like 6 or 7 people with this, maybe even more depending on how it goes. Mm-hmm. Abraham, Sarah, Vochi, Brad, Sydney. That is it. Those are your 5 people who got a confessional in every episode. That is very, very weird. So I just wanted to
throw
that out.
Four of those were the first four people voted out.
Yes. Like JD didn't get a confessional in every episode. Shan has not had a confessional in every episode. Evie has not had a confessional in every episode. Liana, Xander, Danny, none of them have had a confessional in every episode. It is crazy to think about that. So I just wanted to throw that there and just let everybody know that. Deshaun, somebody said, where did Deshaun miss? Because Deshaun was on an absolute heater. Deshaun missed in episode 5, the final episode where Luvu was Luvu. So,
okay. Yeah.
So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. I think that's crazy because normally we're looking at this going, okay, these four people have been eating up all the confessionals. One of them is going to win with an outside chance of these two people who have had confessionals in all but one episode. It's all over the place right now.
Yeah, I think actually like only looking at it, like Tiffany actually was kind of up there in like getting a lot of content, getting funny content. She wasn't getting like correct content always, mm-hmm. but I think Tiffany had like the best quote and I'm glad she like went out with this. She said, if I go rogue, it's going to be a shit show. And I just think that was like a good encapsulation of her. I thought that was really funny. But yeah, I mean, I'm really enjoying that. I don't really know who's going to win. I think there are a lot of people who can win if they get there. And there's really, really weird pathways to get there. So I hope we stay the course on this. I hope we have these minimal effect and high social effect twists. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in 2 weeks, I'm going to be laughing at the fact that I just said
really
that.
Pissed off, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so 14 points is winning the prop bet for the person who asked that. But yes, Alexa, I agree with everything you just said. I think that social twists are good.
Mm-hmm.
Outplay twists where you can't outplay it because it's all luck are bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am Connor Sass. If Tiffany was on the jury, I always black out when Jeff says that. But Tiffany said in her last words that she's excited to be the first person on the jury. So maybe she's manifesting it, but yeah, she's on the jury. So we're officially,
officially in the jury phase.
Yeah. She's a great queen. She's an excellent queen of Ponderosa. Her and or Sydney would have been great for this.
Yes.
I think Sydney was screwed out of it.
But instead we got to hear all of Sydney's anger and that was a lot of fun.
Which was also great. Logan makes a great comment here. CBS has announced the premiere of Survivor Season 42. It is a week later. It's like 2 weeks later. It's Wednesday, March 9th.
Yeah.
At 8 o'clock, 2 hour episode.
It's very late, but they're doing a Big Brother celebrity or something like that.
Awesome.
So I think they wanted to get Big Brother celebrity in for a while and do all of that. And maybe it's not even on that day, but I think it is on that day. And so they kind of want to let that one settle. They'll come in right when March Madness hits. It actually works out perfect because my February is going to be a lot more chaotic than my March and April. I mean, my March will still be crazy, but it won't be as crazy as February would be with nights. So I'm actually kind of happy about that. But that's going to end it really late, I would think, right? Because they got to do 13
usually ends Memorial Weekend or leading into Memorial Weekend.
And now, I mean, that's not going to work because I have plans Memorial Day weekend of next
year. Yeah, Phil's busy.
Yeah, Alexa, you're also busy. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if we're going to be able to pull that one off.
Probably won't be podcasting from the dance floor. But
no, I don't think
we'll deal with that one as
we'll deal with that as it comes. And I don't think I'm going to be allowed to podcast on a honeymoon. So anyway, yeah. So Wednesday, March 9th, that's late, but hey, we'll see what ends up happening. I'm very into that. Have we gotten a date for the finale of this season yet? That was going to be another thing I was going to ask.
We have not, which is kind of weird. I always assume it is December 15th is like what I assume it's going to be. We are due for a double boot. December 19th, December 15th. Okay. So we're not crazy.
Is that official? Official?
Well, three people in our chat just said it. So if that's not official, I don't know what is.
Unless that's just them assuming. Anybody link your source. I want to see.
Ricard allegedly posted it on Twitter. Hopefully Ricard's mom texted him about it because that's what we need for anyone who's been on Twitter.
That is what we need. Okay. Yes. Official on the 15th. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll figure that one out when we get there.
Anything else? I know Phil and I, we're working on a guest for this week's predictions. Phil and I also have extremely conflicting schedules this weekend. So we don't really have the time even just for the two of us. So We're going to finesse something. We do have a preset guest for the week of the 21st. So get very excited.
Yes, get very excited. And I just want everybody to know, I finally went ahead and scored our fantasy games, mainly because now that Tiffany went home, I have four people left, and Robert and Alexa both only have three left. So I figured now would be a good time for our first update of the year. Yeah, even though Alexa is killing us, she has 55 and a half. Ooh. Robert has 42 and a half, and I have 41. But after losing Sarah and David in the first two episodes, I'm not too mad about it because the rest of my team has been kicking ass. I have Danny, Liana, Nasir, and Evie, so I still have a lot of hope here.
Very top heavy. That's good.
Very top heavy, and And Nasir could end up playing an idol correctly, and I still got hope that Danny could win this thing. So we'll see what ends up happening. But that's what I
like.
I got
how
there.
That's looking. Yeah, good stuff. Anything else?
No, that's it. That's it. I'm going to be podcasting live in like 20 minutes, I think, with
what movies are we talking about?
We're doing It's a Wonderful Life, so that'll be fun.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't that lovely? And
are you also going to watch like a Screamo movie, which is John's choice?
I forget honestly what John made us watch Spotlight, which is terrible.
Hey, so. Spotlight's a good movie. It's Based in Boston,
so Alexa likes it. Exactly.
It's also extremely upsetting.
I was going to say, Alexa's over here like, it's feel good because it's set in Boston. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's literally like the most upsetting, the most upsetting theme.
Alexa's one of those people who no matter what Adam Sandler does, she just laughs.
Oh,
you know?
I hate Adam Sandler movies. Even when he's in a drama movie,
she would be like, haha, he's saying funny things, even though he's not.
So funny. And
that's her with Boston movies.
I don't like Adam Sandler. This is also a movie that Phil and John will be talking about in their top 100. I'm going to spend the rest of my night watching Clifford the Big Red Dog on Paramount Plus.
It's on Paramount Plus. There's your plug. You guys, Alexa's going to be using my login, I think, to do that. So, yeah.
You bet I am.
So, thanks, right. Alexa. Please make sure, though, when you're done, that you bring it back to the beginning, because I know Rachel really badly wants to watch it.
Really?
So,
okay. Yes. I'll prevent spoilers for her.
Yes. Please don't let it be at the end where Clifford, we find out, is actually in jail or something. So. Please don't blow
that. That's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
Oh, it feels good to watch a good episode and be happy.
And there's Rachel right there going, oh my God, I didn't know it was out. So.
Rachel, it came out today.
I know.
So
busy
give me an hour and a half and then you can have it.
Or there you go. That's all we need. We're going to be watching it at the same time, 10 minutes behind.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Oh, yeah. I got to hit end broadcast.
Yeah. Oh, God. Now we have to do the.